We're going through Luke, and this is actually going to be the last sermon in our sub-series called The Epic of Belief. Now, the whole study through Luke is a long series that'll take us a while, and the entire series is called Investigation, because Luke said, I'm writing all this, and I have this well-educated man, Luke. He says, I have carefully investigated all of this. And so this isn't just fabled. He has done eyewitness reports. He's done interviews. He's carefully investigated, and he tells us why. And it's his words up here on the screen. So you can be certain of the truth. Because we don't have just some kind of lucky rabbit's foot kind of faith. We are certain of our truth. And Luke is going to teach us why. Now we're in this sub-series called The Epic of Belief, which just means the beginning of faith. And it's kind of like the beginning of Jesus' ministry. We've seen him baptized. We've seen him go into the wilderness and be tempted. We've seen him come out of the wilderness, and there's teaching and miracles that people are seeing. And now I continue on with this series. We'll end the sub-series today. We're going to do like an Easter sub-series, and then we'll pick back up in Luke after that. But let's go to Luke chapter 5, verses 12 through 16. In one of the villages, Jesus met a man with an advanced case of leprosy. When the man saw Jesus, he bowed with his face to the ground, begging to be healed. Lord, he said, if you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean. Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing, he said. Be healed. And instantly, the leprosy disappeared. Then Jesus instructed him not to tell anyone what had happened. He said, go to the priest and let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed. But despite Jesus' instructions, the report of his power spread even faster, and vast crowds came to hear him preach and to be healed of their diseases. But Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. We're going to talk about something called leprosy. If you've been in church, you've heard people talk about leprosy. Maybe you think of it as a biblical disease, but it still exists today. It's also called Hansen's disease, and around the world today, there are still people who suffer from leprosy or Hansen's disease. It starts on the inside. It starts to affect your nerves to where your nerves become deadened. And you'll see people with leprosy who have lost fingers or toes or hands. They start to lose because they have no feeling. It affects the nerves, takes away all the feeling. They don't know when they're injured. They may seriously injure their hand or their finger. They don't feel it at all. It gets either through injury or infection. They start to lose parts of their body. It still exists today. It's curable now. In fact, I thought this was awesome. I found this online. There are treatments that are free of charge from the World Health Organization that treat leprosy. And from the 1980s until now, there's been a decrease in the cases from 5.2 million to 189,000 people. So it's a curable disease now. It's still today. So I'd like to try to connect Bible stories to today, because it's not an Aesop's fable we're talking about. We're talking about real life. And this disease, leprosy, still exists in the world today, especially in some of the poor countries. In Jesus' day, it's incurable, highly contagious. So people who were found with leprosy were sent off to live in leper colonies. And still today in the world, you can find some leper colonies. But they were sent away to live outside of the city. There were laws basically passed that said you can't get that close. You can't get it to a certain length. Close to a leper colony. If you were passing one unknowingly, the lepers were required by law to call out, unclean, unclean. So you knew you were getting close, and everyone would completely stay away. But watch what Jesus did. Jesus approached this man. I love that because it shows his compassion. By law, he was basically breaking the law. But the compassion in his heart knew that they needed to hear as well, and they needed to know about the Messiah as well. And so Jesus approached this man. That shows the degree of his compassion. Listen, guys, Jesus Christ is our role model. I know we like to say, I just want to be like King David. I just want to be like Paul. That's awesome. But they're human beings. Jesus Christ is our role model. No one else. And I see the degree of compassion he had. We talked in the past about demons to fevers. He would deliver you from demon, or he'd heal your fever, anything in between. But here he's actually now approaching someone with this highly contagious disease. I really respect people who do that today. There are missionaries who go into places where there are incurable diseases, and they expose themselves to these diseases to reach people for Jesus Christ. I have one example. I went to college with a guy, a good friend of mine, sang in a group with me. And he met this girl, and he got married to this girl, and she had been on the mission field, and they went on missions trips, and she actually contracted an incurable disease, came home, and they just could not heal her, and she died. He's since remarried and a beautiful family, but people right now on the mission field are exposing themselves. I greatly, greatly admire these people who put themselves in those situations. I've heard people, not so much now, but especially when the first word of AIDS came out and people were talking about AIDS and HIV positive and all of that, and I would hear people in the church world compare AIDS to leprosy, and that's probably not really a good comparison in the big picture. But if you want to have something that maybe scared us, like leprosy, AIDS. And I admire people who minister to AIDS patients, people who are not afraid to go and minister to those who are HIV positive and minister because they need to know about Jesus Christ. It's one thing to have compassion and to go and minister to somebody who has maybe a cold, or minister to somebody who has broken bones that you're not going to catch. It's quite another thing to minister to somebody who have an incurable disease like this. And I really admire that. Now the man says, if you're willing, heal me. Jesus says, I am willing, be healed. And he's instantly here, healed. A miraculous healing. Now we've talked about it, so I won't dwell on it today. But we do know that there are times when there'd be a miraculous healing, and then be times when there wouldn't be. And even today in our world, there's time when there's a miraculous healing and times when there's not. Different ways that God is moving through different lives at different times. There's a protocol. Jesus says, now go to the priest. Why? Because in Leviticus, he says the law of Moses. In Leviticus, they were told, if you are healed from leprosy, you needed to go to the priest and be checked out, and that was almost like your medical clearance. You would go to the priest, be checked out. He would declare you clean, and then you could go and tell people. You weren't just to start running around and saying, I'm clean, I'm clean. You got checked out first. I think that's a cool thing to do. If you are miraculously healed, man, the first thing I would tell you to do is go to the doctor and get the proof. Because isn't it awesome to carry around the x-rays? When you get healed now, because the whole point now is that people are going to know that God is real. Because you have been healed, you've got the proof, and people can say, I don't believe in God. Well, look what he did for me. And so the man would go to the priest, he'd be a public testimony. So there's no doubt now that he's been healed. In biblical studies, if you are a Bible student, go to Bible college, they'll teach you that there are things in the Bible that are types of other things, symbols, an analogy. And in biblical studies, leprosy is a type of sin. Now, I did not say that a person has leprosy because they sinned. I don't think God's just going to curse somebody with a disease because they sin. So that's not what I'm saying. There are things, though, that there are ways that we live that cause disease. There are things we do to our bodies that cause disease, and we do it to ourselves. And God is not cursing somebody with a disease. We asked for this. When we said to God, we'll take it from here, he said, death will come. So all sickness, all disease, all of this happens is because we ask to be our own gods. And I'm telling you, we stink at being gods. Look at your neighbor and say, you stink at being gods. Make sure you put that last part on there. You stink at being a god. Now, hold up your hand like it's a mirror and look in that mirror and say, you stink at being a god. Because we cannot do it. And you can probably come to me any topic in the world right now where it's a total mess. And you can ask me, why is this happening? And I'll have the same answer for every one of them, because we stink at being gods. And we're still trying to be gods of this world, and we will never, ever be successful at being gods in this world. The truth is, though, and here's where I want to land when we're talking about leprosy. The truth is, we all have a type of leprosy inside of us, and it's our sin. It's our sinful nature. Leprosy is a type of sin. We have a sinful nature. Now, look at what leprosy does. It starts on the inside. It starts to eat away at you from the inside, and it eventually starts to destroy your flesh. You end up to have no feeling. You don't even know you're hurting yourself, and you end up losing parts of yourself. That's a picture of what sin does to us. Sin starts inside. I'm not a sinner because I sin on the outside. I sin on the outside because I have a sinful nature on the inside. So sin starts on my inside, and it starts to eat away. And as I feed my sinful nature, the disease of sin spreads. It goes into my emotions and my will and my mind. It comes out and it starts to affect me physically. You can start to get to the point where you don't even feel it anymore. You become numb to your own sin. You're not even feeling the conviction of the Holy Spirit. He's still convicting you, but you're starting to get numb from the Holy Spirit. And you're starting to lose parts of yourself when you don't even know it. You're losing parts of, you're losing relationships. You're losing parts of yourself, the person that you were or that you should be in Christ. You're losing it. Now, before you're saved, we all have that. But it's even after we're saved. And it's starting on the inside. Look at this, Galatians chapter 5, 19 to 21. This is what happens. This is what the leprosy of my sinful nature does to me. When you follow the desires of your leprosy, of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility. Some of you are going, so far, hasn't talked about mine. I'm not done. We got a whole list here. He's going to get you too. Quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy. See, I'm still getting you guys. Envy, the next screen. Envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and in case I missed any of yours, and other sins like these. There's that clause that covers everything else. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone, now watch, living that sort of life will not, and it, I don't think it says anyone who has ever done those. Because some people read this passage and go, oh, if you have envy, you can't inherit the kingdom of God. It's really not what this verse is saying. If you are living that sort of life and you are continuing to live that sort of life, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Because what's going to happen is as you are living that sort of life, you're feeding your sinful nature. The leprosy grows. It starts to affect you. You start to become numb. You start to lose your feeling. The pastor's preaching and you're not even feeling the conviction of the word anymore. And pretty soon you get to the point and it's that whole frog in the pot, slow boil thing, where you go, I don't even go to church anymore. I don't even believe that anymore. How did you get there? Because you continued in the lifestyle of all of those things, lust, immorality, pride, greed, whatever it is. And it took you to that point. That's that leprosy that eats away from the inside. How do I get healed? I come to Jesus, just like this man. He came to Jesus. So we come to Jesus and say, if you will heal me, I want to be saved today. I want to come to the cross of Jesus Christ and believe everything about you, Jesus. That you are God the Son. You were born of a virgin. You lived a sinless life. You died on the cross for my sin. You rose from the dead. I believe in you. I accept you as my Savior and my Lord. I want to be saved today. If you will, and Jesus says, yes, I will. And the Holy Spirit starts to now live inside of you. You believe in Jesus and you are cleansed from sin. Now here's what happens though. The Holy Spirit lives in you. You've still got a sinful nature. Don't you wish when you got saved he took that out? That'd been awesome. But he doesn't. Because we asked for this. Remember, we asked for this life. So the Holy Spirit comes in, but I still got my sinful nature. But now I've got the Holy Spirit. Now I've got the power to fight my sinful nature. It's a battle. Just before that part in Galatians 5, 6, 16 through 18. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil. Why do I want to do evil? Why is that even in me? You ask that question. We all ask that question. Because we have a sinful nature. It wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires. that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. It's a battle. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. It is a battle. And you still have the leprosy. You are forgiven. And when God looks down at you, he sees you through the Jesus filter. He sees righteousness and purity. That's how the Bible says we're righteous in God's eyes. How can that be? Because we know we're not. Because of Jesus' righteousness. And God says, all I see is Jesus. But in life, we're still battling these two sinful natures. So I've still got this leprosy. I've got to feed my Holy Spirit nature, starve my sinful nature. Be saved. And then work on staying saved. Don't go down the road of all those things. That's the leprosy eating away. But then something else happens. Luke chapter 5, 17 to 19. One day while Jesus was teaching, some Pharisees and teachers of religious law were sitting nearby. It seemed that these men showed up from every village in all Galilee and Judea, as well as from Jerusalem. And the Lord's healing power was strongly with Jesus. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a sleeping mat. They tried to take him inside to Jesus, but they couldn't reach him because of the crowd. So they went up to the roof and took off some tiles. Then they lowered the sick man on his mat down into the crowd right in front of Jesus. So Jesus is teaching. Now we're going to see the rest of Luke. We're going to see these guys called Pharisees. Pharisees and teachers of religious law. They're going to start following him around, not because they want to be disciples, although a few of them will be converted. They're following him because they want to catch him in some kind of religious law that he breaks. They are threatened by him. They like the system just as it is. They rule. When it's on the spiritual hierarchy, they're at the top, and they like it at the top. They have made it to where they will always be there. They've created, they're there for life. They're there. If you look into Orthodox Judaism, there are 600 and something laws that they need to follow. And some of them are very, very, very detailed. Now, in our modern day, the Orthodox Jews have found a way around a lot of them to work around them, and so they don't have to follow them. But it is a lot of them. And they're not really in the scripture. They come from extra books that were written early in the days by Pharisees. These Pharisees started coming up with all these extra laws that made, and they're living by all these extra laws because they made them up. So they're following by them, and they're just better than everybody else. And now here comes Jesus, the real Messiah. They knew the scriptures. They knew a Messiah was coming. And yet here he comes, but they're stuck in their religious system. We would call them today legalists. We don't use the word Pharisee, but there are religious legalists that exist today in the church world, and they have all these rules. And some of you were raised, in fact, the reason some of you are at our church today is because you were raised in a legalistic church system that you ran from. You just rebelled and you got away from it because there were so many rules and regulations, and you found a church that's grace-based, which a lot of churches are these days, and they don't have all these extra rules and regulations that you have to live by. I've told you before, when I joined Calvary Chapel, I didn't know much about Calvary Chapel. And I knew denominational world. I was raised in church. I knew about denominations and all this stuff. And every denomination, you know, they had their Bible, but then they also had the other book. And the other book was the denominational rules and regulations. If this happened, this is what you do. And then we'd always have these day-long business meetings where we'd have amendments to that and amendments to this and that. Denomination is pretty much like Washington, D.C., when you get in the middle of it and all these amendments and the arguing and the fighting and people can't agree on anything. So when I joined Calvary Chapel, I met a few of the pastors and I said, okay, I want to see the other book. And they said, what do you mean? I said, I want the other book, the one where all the rules that says this is what you do and this is how you govern your church and this is how you this and this and that. And they said, we don't have another book. And then wait a minute, they're not a denomination. Calvary Chapel is non-denominational. Every church is totally sovereign. We're not really connected in any legal way at all. We all run ourselves. We just have a common set of beliefs in the way we teach. So they said, there's no other. I said, well, then what do I do if I'm going to pastor a Calvary Chapel church? What do I do if such and such and such happens in our church? And they said, you're the pastor, you talk to God, and you do what God says. There's got to be more to it. You got to have any rules. Give me like Amendment A and B and C. No, that's all there is to it. I said, that's pretty cool. And so that's how we deal with it, because we can get so legalistic. And there are legalists. There are Pharisees today. One of the things that I'm hearing a lot, because I follow the pastors on Twitter and Instagram, you know, I try to keep up with what's going on in the world. When you try to keep up with what's going on in the world, in the church world, just like I do with my politics news and my worldly news, I don't just go to one source. I don't trust one source ever. Do I trust one source? So I'll go to all kinds of different church sources to see different perspectives of what's going on in the church world. And my goodness, there's some Pharisees out there. And some of these Pharisees are tweeting. And they're tweeting. And one of the things that these Pharisees tweet about a lot, that just I just laugh at them. They're tweeting about those churches with those worship leaders in skinny jeans. They really get upset because a church has a young man worship leader in skinny jeans. And I want to tweet back and go, I'll take them. Send them. How many you got? Send them my way, please. I'll send you the ones that open the hymn book and do this, because that's fine too. If you, there's not a right or wrong way. Some of the churches, one of the things that's a controversial thing now in our own movement of Calvary Chapel is women in ministry, because of certain verses that say women shouldn't do this or that. So there's this whole battle now being fought in my own movement about women in ministry. And the problem is, because it's not perfectly clear what the Bible's trying to tell us, so we kind of have to figure it out. And everybody thinks they're the ones that get to draw the line. I'm the only one in the whole country that knows where the line's drawn. I go, really? No, you're not. It's a gray area there. And so can we just kind of agree to disagree and just get along with each other? But some Pharisees are out there saying, absolutely not. Here's the law. And they still want to live by the law. So we've got to be careful. Got to be careful to not become a Pharisee. And then I have to be careful not to be a reverse Pharisee. And that I'm going to say they're all not going to heaven. I like the modern worship. Look, if you want to see me in a suit and tie, you got to come to a wedding. That's the only way. We had a big wedding here yesterday. I had a suit and tie on, and y'all were welcoming like I was a visitor. Welcome to the church. Can I help you? Do you know your way around? Because no one recognized me. That's the only way. I'm just not a suit and tie guy, but suit and ties aren't wrong. If some churches want to dress in suit and tie, that's fine. If some want to have the skinny jeans guy with the funny hair leading worship, and someone else wants to have the hymn book, that's fine. We've got to stop. Let's not be Pharisees, but let's not be reverse Pharisees. If we're worshiping God in our heart, it really doesn't matter. Modern worship hymns, it doesn't matter. If we're teaching the Word of God, it doesn't matter how I'm dressed. It doesn't matter what brand of coffee we use. Let's just love, and let's all do what we're called to do. But these Pharisees were going to follow Jesus around all over. And from now to the cross, they're going to be right on him, trying to catch him. But I love this story. So get this story here. The Pharisees come. But there's these men, and I think it's their friend. They have this friend that's on a mat. They can't get to Jesus. And the crowds are pressing in. So they want to come now and get this paralyzed friend. The friend's paralyzed. And they want to get him to Jesus. And the crowd's blocking the way. So they come with this great creative idea. It's one of the stories I remember as a kid learning in Sunday school. They climb up and they take away some of the roof and they lower down. That's pretty ingenious, you know. They got their ropes and they lowered him down right into the room where Jesus was. They were desperate to get their friend to Jesus for healing. And so if you are one of the ones who are blessed to have been delivered from your leprosy of sin, you're saved, I want to encourage you. This is going to be a call to action sermon. Because I want to be sure that you don't, oh, I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm so glad I'm healed from my leprosy. I want you to have your spiritual eyes open today to all of your paralyzed family and friends out there. Because they're everywhere. And I just mean they have not met Jesus yet. And they don't even know. Some of them are so lost in the leprosy of their sin, they don't even know they're lost. But they're all around us, and we need to, from this point on in the sermon, the whole second part here, I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit starts to bring people to your mind. Just flash people, names, pictures, whatever. that you know they're lost. They're paralyzed right now, like you were, like we all were. And I want us to have this call to action to be like these guys. Let's find a way to get them to Jesus, because we're missionaries. You are a missionary. Mark 16, 15, he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. I don't think that was just for those apostles. I think that was for those apostles to preach, and then the people who heard those apostles to preach, and then people who heard them to preach. And it just goes on and on and on. As the church, we all leave here as missionaries. Find these people who are paralyzed and don't even know it. For some of you, it's at home. It might be work, it might be school, it might be your neighborhood. I want you to think about this. Home should be about family. First and foremost, home is about family. But sometimes, home is about being a witness to unsaved family members. Work is about money. I probably, if most of you did not need money, you wouldn't go to work tomorrow morning. Work is about making money. But maybe it's also about being a witness to those who are paralyzed and lost. They don't know Jesus Christ at your place of employment. School is about education. That's what it's about. But maybe it's also about being a witness to those who are paralyzed and lost in your public school, private school, wherever you are in school, college. Your neighborhood, maybe you think it's about just hanging out with your neighbors and having barbecues, but it's probably also about being a missionary to your neighborhood, because they're paralyzed, they're lost, they don't know Jesus Christ. Wherever you are, it's about being a missionary. And my purpose now is to see them as Jesus sees them. And if I can see them that way, I'll change. Because here's what happened. These guys, they were led to lift up this man and bring him to Jesus Christ. Right now, I'm asking God to help us to have this compassion. Church, a lot of times we talk about we need to have passion. We need to have passion in our worship. We got to have passion in our preaching. And that's great. Let's have passion. But we need to have compassion, because a lot of times that's what's lacking in the church. We got passion, but we don't have compassion for the people who have the leprosy of sin or who are paralyzed from their sin. The Holy Spirit is going out right now. He's wooing people. He's drawing people to Jesus Christ. That's what he does. And he softens their heart. But we are supposed to go out now and share Jesus Christ to them so they hear and they believe. But I have to make sure I have compassion. Unfortunately, a lot of the church world, we get sucked into the battles of the world, whatever that might be. We get sucked into their battles and we pick a side. And here's what happens. Every time you pick a side, I call it taking trash. That's the mindset of today's world. I take a side and I trash the other side. And pick a topic. Pick a subject, sports, whatever it is. You take a side and you trash the other side. And we don't have compassion. So I'm saying, I'm only on one side here. I'm on the side of Jesus Christ. Whatever he does, that's what I want to do. He's my role model. He didn't take sides. He had compassion for everybody. I got to make sure I'm not seeing the world through Pharisee eyes. If I believed in a Pharisee spirit, I'd cast it out of you. I don't believe in a Pharisee spirit. But I believe in a Pharisee attitude, and I got to get rid of that myself. A Pharisee attitude is uncaring. A Pharisee attitude is unfeeling. I don't even feel for that person. And I'm my own leprosy is causing me to overcome the Holy Spirit telling me to have compassion, and I become unfeeling and uncaring to this. Here's how the Lord's been helping me, and maybe this will help you. Because we live in the flesh, we see the flesh. It's hard not to just react in a fleshly way, because it's our senses. It's what we know most. And so we see people who are in a physical way acting out in some way. And it could be a variety of ways that they're acting out. And they're doing things that are not good, not Christian. And we just look at the physical things they are doing and judge them according to their physical acts. God has really been working on me to look past what's happening in their physical realm, to look past what they are doing in the physical, and understand that is a symptom of what's happening in their emotions. There is an emotional pain, an emotional problem that is coming out in a physical way. So instead of attacking them physically, I need to understand there's something emotionally happening there, and I need to try to get on that level with them. But even further than that, it's a spiritual issue. I'm watching the physical acting out of someone. The root problem is spiritual. And so instead of me trying to fix their fear, instead of me saying, stop that, I need to find out, how can I be a mat? How can I get to be part of a mat to lift that person up, to just be available? I'm not saying be in their life completely to where you get dragged down. My mom always told me, you know, we had unsaved friends, and she would always say, now you don't jump down into the pit to get them out, because then you're back in the pit again. You stay out of the pit, but you reach down to help them. You throw them a rope, you help them out of the pit. So I'm not saying dive into their lifestyle, but I am saying we need to be able to be at least available to people and see past the physical and the emotional, and it's a spiritual need. And then I can not judge them, but I can have compassion for them. I think about this guy laying on the mat. How many times did other people pass him by? Because you know what? They're going to church, and he's in the way. And they're probably stepping over him because they want to go worship. I just got to worship. I get that. Church is fun. I love to worship. But there are people on the way who, they're paralyzed. This was convicting to me. I had to ask myself, how many people do I pass every day? And they're almost unseen to me. We don't even see them. And I want God to do this for me, and I want Him to do it for you. I want Him to change that. You guys, if you better put your prayer shield up, because I'm praying for you today. And if you don't receive this prayer, you know, because I'm going to pray that God opens all of our eyes. And when we walk out of here, we will see paralyzed people spiritually. And we won't. Now, He's not going to show all of us everybody, because it'd be overwhelming. What He's going to do, He's going to show me people in my life that I can minister to. And He's going to do the same for you. He's going to show you somebody and you somebody and you somebody. And all of us are going to see people in our lives that are paralyzed, that have this leprosy, and we need to be part of the mat. We need to have compassion. Just kick the Pharisee out of you. That Pharisee that says, because we get this attitude sometimes, and I know, we take a side and we go, well, I'm good, I'm going to heaven, I go to church, I just can't handle the world, I'm just going to go to church, I'm good, my family's good, and all the rest of them can go to, and literally, that's really what we're saying. And that's so un-Jesus-like. Here's the deal. Whatever they're going through, whatever is happening in the physical right now that turns me off about them, eternity is way too long for me to let that affect me. That is a worldly, temporary thing. What they're doing right now, it is for a short time. The Bible says life is a vapor. And some of you young folks, that doesn't mean you know the whole vapor shops and all that, the vaping and all that. Us older folks, we know what that means. Because all of a sudden, poof, and you're 50. And you go, how did that happen? It passes fast. Life's a vapor. This life is too short for me to get on all these issues that keep me from seeing somebody who needs Jesus Christ. I don't want to see anybody as vile anymore. I don't want to see anybody as evil anymore. I want to see them as paralyzed, as lost. So if you see anybody out there, if you think anybody and you go, well, that's just the most vile, evil person, I pray the Holy Spirit convicts you and says, no, they're just lost. And they need Jesus Christ. And we need to do whatever we can to bring them to Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 2:1-4. I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. So I start praying for them. Whoever it is, I'm going to start praying. God, I just pray you. And pray, watch, pray for them, not against them. God, I pray you just make them. No, you pray for them. God, would you just help them today? Would you bless them? Would you put something in their path? Would you help me to be a light to them? Ask God to help them. Oh, God, would you please help them in their life right now so that they see that you're real? Intercede on their behalf. That's a deeper level of prayer. Because prayer, you pray. Intercession is, I'm really going to spend some time here. and I'm going to intercede for these people, for this person, whoever it is God's putting on your heart right now, and give thanks for them. God, I'm thankful that they're here. I'm thankful they're in my life. I'm thankful that I had this opportunity to be a light to them. Help me to say the right thing at the right time. Pray this way for kings and all who are in our authority. Man, I've been preaching since 1999. So when I say pray for your king, pray for your president, please don't think I'm talking about just the current president. I've been doing this since 99. I'm talking about every president, no matter who it is. We pray for all of our kings, our governors, our city officials, all those who are in authority, so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. Why? This is good and pleases God our Savior, because here's his heart, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. Now, just be honest. Do you want everyone to be saved? Don't look around and don't call out any names. But is there anybody that you just do not want to be in heaven because you can't stand them? You have built up a hatred towards somebody, and you're just hoping to God they don't get saved. Because the last thing you want to do is have the little place card. You go to the marriage supper of the Lamb and you look at the place card and they're sitting right next to you. And you go, really? I mean, God's heart is that everybody is saved. Max Lucado wrote in the book, his book on grace, he wrote about Jeffrey Dahmer. If you don't know that story, Jeffrey Dahmer just would kidnap people and kill them and cut them up and keep body parts in the refrigerator and eat. So there you go. That was Jeffrey Dahmer. And Jeffrey Dahmer, when he's waiting to be executed, was ministered to, and he had a conversion. He came to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And people can say all they want, well, I just don't believe that. You know, God knows his heart. And it's very possible that when you get to heaven, that place card next to you is going to say Jeffrey Dahmer. Now, Max Lucado had a hard time with that. And here's great pastor, preacher, author, Max Lucado. And he said, okay, that bugs me. Because I'm this guy who was raised in church, he says. Raised in church, you know, didn't do a whole lot of things wrong. Maybe stole, a piece of candy from the candy store. And the same exact grace that saved me saves Jeffrey Dahmer. And he had to come to grips with that. But that is the truth. And so I don't care who it is, how evil you think they are, how vile you think they are, I'm supposed to pray. I want them to be saved, honestly, because that's God's heart, and I want to have God's heart. In church, we talk about, and we're talking about it here in our church, your own growth, spiritual growth for you, classes for you, small groups for you. That's called inreach. In church speak, that's inreach. We have inreach in church where we have ministries for ourselves, for our church body. That's inreach. That's great. We should have that. We push that. That's awesome. But there's something also called outreach. And outreach is when we take the gospel of Jesus Christ out of this building into your personal life. Now, don't wait for a program, because some of you go, I love that outreach thing, Pastor David. As soon as you organize the ministry, as soon as you have an outreach program for me, I'll jump on board. I'm talking about a personal outreach. You are personally responsible for your own outreach. And God is going to put people in your life that he wants you personally to be a witness to. And God will tell you how. You don't have to go prepare a 3-point sermon. You just live your life. You just come out of the closet and live a life. You're a Christian. I'm a Christian. Doesn't mean you're weird. Just means you're a Christian. You let everybody know. And then people in your life know that. Does that mean you might not get invited certain places? Yeah, probably will. Does that mean you might get unfriended? Yeah, probably, social media and in real life. Does it mean you might have people just reject you? Yeah, probably. But you're going to live out loud. You're going to be a believer. And there's going to be people in your life that you will have personal outreach to. Minister to them. Pray for them. How exciting would it be if you started that right now, if God put somebody on your heart today and you started praying for them and you started maybe talking to them and then they visit church and all of a sudden they're saved and now they're growing faster than you are spiritually, how exciting would that be? That's how we're supposed to live. Now the final part of this, Luke 5:20-26. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the man, young man, your sins are forgiven. But the Pharisees and teachers of the religious law said to themselves, "Who does he think he is? That's blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins." Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he asked them, "Why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or stand up and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins." Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home." And immediately, as everyone watched, the man jumped up, picked up his mat, and went home praising God. Everyone was gripped with great wonder and awe, and they praised God, exclaiming, "We have seen amazing things today." Well, here's the Pharisees again. Always trying to trick him, always trying to catch him, all the way to the cross. But watch how they spoke truth without even knowing what they were saying. "Blasphemy! Only God can forgive sins." And Jesus is like, "Well, no, that's me. You're exactly right. Thank you for that affirmation." I mean, they knew that the Messiah was coming. Here he was right in front of them. There are people who say, "Well, God, Jesus never claimed to be God." He claimed to be God several times in the scriptures. He didn't come right out and do it. He just basically said, I'm going to be God right in front of you." And he says, "That's right." And he says, "Well, what do you think? Is it easier for me to say, rise up and walk?" Now, listen, this might blow some of your minds, but even in today's world, there are copy miracles that can happen in the demonic realm. If you actually see satanic worship, there are sometimes things that might happen miraculously in the satanic world. There are fake miracles that happen that aren't real. Well, this was happening in Jesus' day too. It's not like everybody's running around healing everybody. But Jesus is basically saying, "Really, is it easier for me to say, rise up and walk? Because y'all have seen that before. Or is it easier for me to say, your sins are forgiven? Because only God can do that." And he's saying, "I am God right in front of you. Only God can heal your sin. Only God can take care of your leprosy of original sin. You can't be good enough. Good works won't cut it. I don't care if you are the one serving the most in the community, you're doing the most to help homeless, you're doing the most in every social service way. That does not save you. Coming to church doesn't save you. Church didn't die on the cross for you at all. Serving here at church didn't die on the cross for you at all. There's only one way to be healed of this leprosy, and that is Jesus Christ, God the Son. He dies on the cross for our sin. I deserve death. He took it. I come to him. I say, "I believe you are Lord and Savior. Please forgive me my sin. Come into my life." That's how I am sin. Only God, that's how I'm healed. Only God can heal my sins. But watch what Jesus says. "I'm going to heal this man." Why? "To prove that I have the authority to forgive sins." Healing and signs and wonders are never only about themselves. We are guilty in the church world of making it all about the healings and the signs and the wonders. But biblically speaking, it was always to show that there's a God that's real. When you have a healing in your life, it is so that now you can show God is real. Because the whole point isn't to be healed. The whole point is for people's sins to be forgiven. That is the main point. Jesus says, "I'm doing this so I can show I have the authority." So I want to ask you today two things. First of all, are you sure you have taken care of the leprosy of the original sin in your life? Are you sure you're saved? Only one way to do that, and I'll lead you to the cross of Jesus Christ today. You'll pray a prayer. You'll receive him as your Savior. You'll be saved. After you're saved, we need to make sure that we're always fighting against this leprosy of our sinful nature that is in us and allowing the Holy Spirit to strengthen us. I encourage you again, do everything you can to strengthen the Holy Spirit in you. And that's going to church, that's doing Bible study, that's hanging around Christian friends. Strengthen yourself spiritually so that when we go out now, the second thing, and we find our paralyzed friends who don't even know they're paralyzed, I'm at a point where I'm spiritually strong enough that I won't get dragged into their sin. Sometimes we try to witness to somebody who's in sin, but we're not spiritually strong enough, and we end up just being dragged into it. We all are guilty of that. We need to be spiritually strong enough so that now we can now go out and minister and find a way to be a mat. Man, get some people, get some Christian friends around you, and we're going to pray for this person, and we're going to minister to this person. We're going to find a way to get that person, and it might be getting them to church. Now, church doesn't save you, I said that, but let's just be honest. Probably most people who receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior do it in a setting like this. A church service, a revival service, this type of setting. And so getting them to church, look, I know you hear all of us pastors, we're all out there trying to have the biggest church in town. I get it, that's that whole competing game and the bigger, better, all that type of thing. Honestly, folks, when I'm trying to get you to bring people to church, it's not so I can say, oh, I got 30 more. It's because we're bringing people to a place where they are going to have the Holy Spirit ministering to them through the Word of God. They're going to hear the gospel here. I'm going to make sure they hear the gospel and they can receive Jesus Christ. Get them here. Be a mat and bring your friends to church. Bring them on Easter or just minister the gospel to them yourself. You can lead them to Jesus Christ yourself. See them as God sees them. No more evil, vile people, just lost people who are paralyzed that need Jesus Christ. So I've asked you through this second half to have a person in your mind. I hope the Holy Spirit has showed you somebody. If not, keep praying. He's going to show you, he's going to bring something. And I'm going to pray for all of us that this week, our eyes are open and we see people differently than we've ever seen them. I pray you'll see somebody and God will say, that's one. That's one I've assigned to you. They're paralyzed. Now, they have free will. You can't force them. But you're now going to be a light to them and trying to bring them to Jesus Christ. See them, have compassion as someone did it for you. When you were lost, someone was praying for you. Are you going to pray for somebody else? When you were lost, somebody shared the gospel with you. Are you going to do it for somebody else and be a link in the chain? Well, let's pray and ask God to help us to do that. God, help us to live that life. To be this type of person who has compassion. As Jesus had compassion for the leper, help us to have compassion. As these young men carried this man to Jesus, help us to bring people to Jesus. If you're here today and you're not sure you're saved, that's step one, man. Make sure that you yourself have come to the cross and receive forgiveness for your sins. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. You can pray. You can pray online. Those of you that are watching on the stream, you can pray where you're at right now. And just pray that God will forgive you, that you believe all there is that the Bible says about Jesus Christ, and you want to receive him as Lord and Savior today. If that's you right now, you and God talk. It has nothing to do with me. You and God talk. And just pray this prayer. God, I believe in you. I believe you are real. I believe you love me. I believe in Jesus, that he is God the Son. He was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He died on the cross for my sin, and he rose from the dead. I don't understand it all, but in faith today, I choose to believe. I accept you, Jesus, as my Savior and my Lord. God, forgive me of all my sin. I'm sorry for what I've done. Holy Spirit, live in me. Lead me and guide me all the days of my life. I thank you, God, for my salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.